Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you have questions related to what you hear today, or just want to find out more about the ministries at First United Methodist Church, please visit us online at fumcbentonville.org, or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok.
We are in this series of Foolish Love where we talk about the characteristics of what it means to love. And today we are going to talk about breaking the rules. The choir did it beautifully for us today by being part of the congregation. But even when they're up here, they're offering a gift on our behalf to the Lord. And that is what we celebrate today. You may also note that I am seated, kind of breaking the rules. So some of you know that I'm practicing living in an RV this week. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons for that. I am considering moving into an RV full time. I'm happy to talk more with you if you want to know more about it. And it's going really well, although Ken, as soon as I said that, behind me in the first service said no. Because I have learned that I need a bed that you can get in from both sides and not that's tucked in the corner that you kind of have to take a running leap to get into. And I twisted my knee in the course of that. So I'm seated today, breaking those rules. We were also going to do a conversational sermon today. And as kids, there's one rule about kids. It's that they are unpredictable. And both of the folks that were going to join us have families that were sick this week. So I'm going to do this solo, but with their voices alongside me. So as we look at this idea of foolish love breaking the rules, we're going to hear two passages. The first one is going to come from Mark and the second one from Luke. So hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went into the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know that he had entered a house, but he couldn't hide. In fact, a woman whose young daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard about him right away. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She begged Jesus to throw the demon out of her daughter. He responded, "The children have to be fed first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." "Good answer," he said. "Go on home. The demon has already left your daughter." Then from Luke, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader, incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord replied, "Hypocrites! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame, but all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts, our minds, and our eyes that we might see and know the word you have for us this day. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So there is no greater inspiration for breaking the rules than to try to save a child. Today we're going to hear Michelle Bruzzatori's story. She is the sister of Susan Sullivan Miller, as many of you know, is part of our congregation. She's going to share a story of what it took to break the rules for her son, Liam. So we'll have the video now.
During my second pregnancy, at 17 weeks gestation, my unborn son was diagnosed with a fatal condition. We were told that he would likely die within seconds to minutes after he was born, if he even lived that long or made it that far. And we were told that nothing could be done. The hopelessness and dread, and I can't emphasize those words enough, of having to carry my baby 6 or more months seemed insurmountable. I was told by well-meaning individuals that things would be okay, or that I just needed to have faith. But things were not okay, and things were not going to be okay. I felt as though I was indirectly being told that if our son ended up dying, that my faith was not strong enough. I was trying to balance having faith in what was to come with the reality that my son was likely going to die. After doing some research, we discovered a clinical trial called the Renal Agenesis Fetal Therapy Trial, RAFT for short. We were evaluated by the RAFT team at Johns Hopkins, and we met with countless specialists. A couple of weeks later, we were told that we qualified for the trial, and that very same day, we had to pack our things and move to Baltimore, Maryland to start the trial the very next day. During the following months, I had 20 needle infusions into my abdomen to help aid in Liam's lung development. Our sweet Liam entered the world, and his lungs were fabulous, but he had some unexpected complications. He lived for 25 days. 25 days that we were not expecting after receiving his diagnosis. We prayed for a miracle, and we got one. It wasn't the miracle we had been hoping for, but we are so thankful for those 25 days that we got to love on our baby boy. 25 days of hope and love for Liam, and a lifetime of hope and love for others with similar diagnoses. The quality time we got to spend with him and his contribution to modern medicine made our participation in this trial priceless. That year, I read the Easter story from an entirely different perspective. As a grieving mother, it was most natural for me to listen to the story from Mary's perspective. I began to imagine Mary suffering from the loss of her child. She watched as her child was beaten and humiliated. She watched as her son took his final breath. Though she knew who her son was, the agony still had to have been unimaginable. I then shifted to Jesus' perspective. He was aware of his purpose, but that did not diminish his suffering. He felt every thorn, every lash, and every nail. He felt the searing pain as he took every breath while hanging on that cross. He was God, but he was also man. He had been forsaken. Lastly, I thought about the Easter story from God's perspective. Is it possible that God experienced grief from forsaking his own son? I realized that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, but surely seeing all that was happening to Jesus stung deep, as it seems likely that God too felt every thorn, every lash, and every nail. There may be no suffering in heaven, but I imagine God grieved as the events unfolded. The greater the love, the greater the suffering and grief. In no way am I comparing my son to Jesus or the death of my son to the sacrifice of Jesus. Though it did help me to understand how there can be so much pain, grief, and suffering, even with something from which an eternity of good comes.
So let's talk about the rules that Michelle and her family broke for Liam. She refused to give up. She fought for her child. She took extraordinary means, not unlike the Syrophoenician woman who pushed her way into a house and demanded healing. She fought for Liam. She also refused to listen to those who questioned her, in particular those who questioned her faith. My friends, here is something we need to know and hear about faith. Faith is not in getting the expected outcome. Faith is in the fight. And they certainly exhibited deep faith. And they got a miracle in that fight. They got 25 days. They would not have been given otherwise. And they got another miracle in that because the treatment was successful with them, they know the treatment will be successful with so many others. So they get the miracle of many, many, many more days for children who are yet to come. And they get the miracle of continuing on asking people in Liam's memory to do acts of kindness in the month from when he was born on forward, which is actually still in this time that we're in right now. I told her we can play catch up. We can do acts of kindness in Liam's name. You know, miracles rely on someone being willing to take the chance. Miracles rely on someone whose miracle isn't what they expected. That is what foolish love is. Foolish love is being willing to take the chance to break the rules. And not just for our own children, but for all of God's children. When we see barriers of culture, who cares? When we confront insurmountable medical conditions, so what? When we have people around us who are saying and doing awful things, bring it. The Syrophoenician woman gives us a pattern that Jesus then exemplifies in every healing that he does. He fights for the miracle. He fought for the bent over woman. He fought to heal her beyond barriers, the barriers of Sabbath and the barriers of 18 years of being bent over. And he fought despite the objections of those around him. He gave her health, he gave her dignity, and he gave her community. Now that's something we don't always recognize is part of healing, but it is. Part of healing is community. And she was restored to community. I'm going to get to spend a week looking down at my feet, making sure I step carefully. When Tom's Shoes used to have this event, it was called One Day Without Shoes, and they encouraged people to go without shoes to see what it was like to not have shoes. And one particular day, I started my day at 5:30 in the morning, and I actually ended it the next day at 3:30 in the morning. So I had almost a full 24 hours of walking without shoes. And all the next week, I had people coming up to me and saying, "Hey, I hollered at you. I waved at you, but you didn't see me. You were looking down." Yeah, I was looking down. I was trying not to step on glass and sticks and rocks and stuff. But I came to realize that how that reality of being bent over cut me off from community. And that bent overness may have literally been a sickness in which she was bent over, but sometimes people read it as being bent over by depression and anxiety. And that can sometimes isolate us from community as well. And so healing, we so often talk about healing in terms of cure. And healing is really a restoration of shalom. It's giving us back our peace, no matter what is going on around us. And it's giving us back our community and helping us know that we are seen and that we are loved. It's a healing of personhood that truly matters. Now, what is before us are some choices, some recognitions. First of all, recognize that sometimes you are the one who needs to be fought for. Let people fight for you. Let them be your community. Sometimes we are the ones who need to do the fighting. We need to be lifting up our voices for those most vulnerable around us. But sometimes we are the crowd. And when we are the crowd, we also have a choice of voice and action. We can choose to ally with those who question faith, who have hard words, or we can choose to ally with Jesus Christ and bring life. I'm going to give Michelle Bruzzatori one more last word. She has some reflections on how we can be the people who ally with Jesus, the people who use words for good. A lesson Jesus had to learn, but a lesson that he learned and then carried to all of us. How words can heal and not hurt. It will help us learn to be the people of the foolish love. So let's hear from Michelle.
Several months ago, I came across a blog called Changing Perspectives, written by a grief therapist who had put into writing some very useful advice. The author mentions how we as a society don't like to talk about death, dying, or grief. It feels too heavy, messy, and personal. And when something makes us feel uncomfortable, our natural instinct is to turn away from it. Her blog is focused on those who have lost a loved one, but I think many of the suggestions could be applied to different scenarios. The first tip is just to be there. For many of us, we can only spend so much time in that uncomfortable place before we need to find something to distract ourselves. My favorite quote from the entire blog says, "Rather than running away from the pain, try to lean into that discomfort and be there for your friend." The second tip is to ask questions. Ask your friend what they need. Rather than saying, "Let me know if you need anything," be brave and ask things like, "What will be the hardest part of this month for you?" Or, "What do you need to help get you through this season?" Third, find a way to help without being asked. For many grieving individuals, the thought of asking for support is overwhelming, daunting, and feels far too vulnerable for them. Figure out a way, besides casseroles, that you can provide some functional help for your friend and then offer it. Last, talk about your loved one. Your friend's heart is always hurting, so bringing up the topic will not cause more hurt. One of their biggest fears, especially if they're a parent who's lost a child, is that the world will forget their loved one. So say their name. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. If you would like to let us know you were here, follow the link below to connect. To participate in worship through giving, you can give online at fumcbentonville.org or on Venmo at fumcbentonville. FUMC Bentonville welcomes all. Because we believe the communion table is God's table, we invite everyone into our church family. We welcome and celebrate every race, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, marital status, age, physical and mental ability, national origin, economic station, and political ideology. We come together in action and outreach, aspiring to follow Jesus' example of radical hospitality, love, and grace as a transformative movement in our community. Please join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., both in person and on Facebook Live. All are welcome, and we'd love to have you with us. Grace and peace.